Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by WebEx.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the return of the GOAT, Tampa Tom, take two. Why the timing of this decision might be the smartest thing he's ever done. Plus, Aaron, your move. Does Tom's turnaround mean the MVP has to make one huge change to his plans? We'll tell you what that is. And oh, by the way, March Madness is here. We've got your upsets, your Cinderellas, and your Final Fours all covered as we get up with you. Starting right now, it is a Monday, and it might be the busiest day we'll have this year. Delighted you were there. Delighted they are here. Graziano's ready to roll. Neek is here. Mike Tannenbaum is ready to go. And Dan Orlovsky has got the insight as well on a very busy morning in the world of football. And it begins with the enormous news. And that, of course, is this. Tom Brady is back. His retirement lasted 40 days. Brady saying yesterday he's returning to the Buccaneers for his 23rd season in the NFL. The seven-time Super Bowl champion announcing the decision on Twitter and Instagram, saying he has unfinished business. Here's part of what he said on Twitter. Quote, "These past 2 months, I've realized my place is still on the field and not in the stands. That time will come, but it's not now. I love my teammates. I love my supportive family. They make it all possible. I'm coming back for my 23rd season in Tampa. Unfinished business, LFG. And to that I say,
LFG.
OMG.
Happy Brady Monday, everyone.
Let's do it. All right, Graziano, my insider extraordinaire. What is the reaction? Did they expect this in Tampa?
Late last week, I had a conversation with somebody close to this situation. Said the Buccaneers are hopeful. They feel like they can still convince him to change his mind. And they were right. Look, they've stayed in contact with him, right? And they've tried to sort of give him space, but also kind of let it be known that, hey, you know, if you did want to play again, we sure would love to have you. And lo and behold, here he is. And it's no coincidence that the center, Ryan Jensen, re-signs last night for probably less than he was going to get on the open market. And other free agents will probably follow. But what happened here is the Buccaneers were hopeful. They continued to talk with him about what their plans were in free agency, what kind of team he'd be coming back to if he did change his mind, and ultimately they got what they were hoping to get.
And once again, let's underline the significance of the timing of the decision. The fact that he does it this Sunday and not next Sunday is significant because?
Well, because in 4 hours, teams can start having conversations with the agents for free agent players. So Ryan Jensen could have had a conversation with the Jets or the Bengals or the Ravens or any of these teams that were looking to pursue him. And now he's going to be on the Buccaneers. And we'll see what else happens. They have other free agents they want to sign. And obviously, Brady coming back will help with that.
Yes, Leonard Fournette had posted a thank you to Tampa, basically a goodbye to Tampa. He took that tweet down yesterday after this news from Tom Brady. Dominique, number one thought you have this morning.
I was just excited. And I do think that they immediately become a contender. But the first thought was reading his tweet. It was like he was lying to us because he said that day will come. It's clear that the day of retirement never going to come. I'm most shocked by the feeling that I have is I'm completely fine with it. The man has become an incredible entertainer and football player, and this team is going to be outstanding because when you have a big hole at quarterback and you fill it with someone who performed at worst the second best quarterback in football last year, you automatically get a whole lot better. And we know guys will be willing to come and play there for maybe less because Tom Brady's there.
And it said on the screen a moment ago, he will be 45 years
he's
old
ageless.
In August. He's ageless?
Yeah, he's not 45. 45 is a number that Tom Brady, obviously, he doesn't subscribe to those numbers. He counts by Super Bowls. He's 7 Super Bowls old. He wants to get to 10.
It's like people who were born on leap day.
Yeah, that's him.
That's how he ages. Like his birthday is February 29th. Dan, what do you need to know before you can fully assess the significance and impact of this decision?
Who else is coming with him? This is a football team that doesn't have starting guards, a starting tight end, or starting tailbacks. That was my initial reaction when I heard last night. Candidly, my initial reaction when I heard it last night was, He's coming back, but it's not going to be with the Buccaneers. Because this was a team last year that was old and injured. And they have so many free agents. Tom Brady's not coming back to play with a good team. He's coming back to play with a great team that has the chance to win the Super Bowl. So I want to know who else is coming back with him. Graz mentioned Ryan Jensen, but their really good guard, Ali Marpet, retired. Alex Kappa, their other really good guard, is a free agent. Gronk's a free agent. O.J. Howard's a free agent. Ronald Jones, a free agent. Leonard Fournette's a free agent. Ndamukong Suh's a free agent. Carlton Davis, their starting corner's a free agent. So, you know, given all those names, I want to know what the contract looks like, because how many of those guys are going to come back? Because that's my big question right now with this football team. I would still place them, as we sit today, third in that conference behind the Los Angeles Rams and the Green Bay Packers. Now, a lot of that could change, but this is a football team that still has a lot of question marks. Tom Brady coming back is a huge deal. Last year, and I think it's important to remind everybody, this team lost on the last play of the game to the team in the Los Angeles Rams that eventually won the Super Bowl, given their age and all of their injuries. So I just want to know, how loaded is this team going to be to try to make a repeat run of what they were 2 years ago?
And you just saw on your screen the impact this has already had on the odds. They are now the favorites to win the NFC. So he just talked about roster construction. Mike T, that's your area of expertise. How about that? How about putting the pieces back together? Because the contract is already in place.
Yeah, he's on a 2-year, $50 million deal. And in talking to them or texting with them last night, they were happy last night, but they sort of expected it. And I think this plan is in place. And when we go through this list of players, this is reasonable to get done. And to Dan's point, there is a lot of work to be done. But when your quarterback is making $25 million a year, Greeny, that's a very realistic list to get accomplished.
Meaning, let's make sure the audience understands what you're saying. By starting quarterback standards, forget about superstar quarterback. By starting quarterback standards, that's a bargain, which means they can afford to put a lot of those other names on their roster.
Yeah, context is everything. Kirk Cousins signs an extension last night at $35 million a year. Tom Brady is making $10 million less than Kirk Cousins. And, oh, by the way, the quarterback that's up in Green Bay, some guy named Aaron Rodgers, yeah, it's been widely reported that he's about to sign a contract over $50 million a year. I think for him, the optics are awful. That deal should have been done last week. And now when Tom Brady is sitting there at $25 million a year, they're at a competitive advantage over the Green Bay Packers. Packers still have a chance to be good, but a lot of his teammates will be graduating while Tampa Bay will be able to keep more of their players.
But look at the look on our – and Neek, why are you doing this?
I'm trying to calm down.
He's trying to center himself, Chrissy, if we can get a look at Dominique here. Why does this upset you so? Obviously what Mike is saying is 100%
I will
wrong.
Not stand here and listen to this front office propaganda right? foolishness. Like, if a quarterback is – so first of all, Giselle should be the MVP. All the money that she makes allows Tom Brady to be underpaid for much of his career, which does make it easier to build the team. But I just don't feel comfortable sitting in a place where we're being critical of guys taking the amount of money that they've earned. Like, they've earned it. Kirk Cousins earned it. And Aaron Rodgers, they earned that amount of money. So, like, us sitting up here and trying to use Tom Brady to tamp down the salaries of other players makes me uncomfortable and, frankly, makes me angry. So I'm going to center myself because there's too many cameras here to do what I want to do.
Which is what?
Fight, Mike. I want to put my hands on him. Let's just get my paws on him.
You're taking one thing and you're making it into something else, which is to say is fully reasonable and I think accurate to say that Tom Brady's willingness, ability to, or however you want to describe it, take a lot less money than his position would normally dictate has contributed to him having seven championships.
That's fine, but then making the leap to naming Kirk Cousins and naming Aaron Rodgers, like, the implication there is that they don't care about winning enough and they're being greedy and taking money. My issue with that is it's taking the obligation away from the front office and the general managers to do their job. If Aaron Rodgers plays back-to-back MVP seasons and he wants to make $80 million a year, then fine. Either pay him that or not. And once you pay him that, it is no longer his responsibility to build up the roster. You need to draft well. You need to find, as a general manager, you need to do the rest of it. Stop putting it on them to say, you take less if you want to win a championship. No, you draft better if you want to win a championship.
Now, Nick, what you're asking them to do is something that no one has ever done. No one has ever taken up more than 15% of the salary and won the Super Bowl.
That's a correlation versus causation argument, right? Because no one but Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl.
No one but him has taken enough money.
There's also other things that Tom Brady has. I mean, like, you can just say, like, Tom Brady has messed it up for everyone. Like, he's won 7 times. You can't win the Super Bowl 7 times in one player's career. If you're trying to emulate that by convincing Aaron Rodgers to take less money, then you're barking up the wrong tree. There's no guarantee that's ever going to happen. My point is this. Dominique is absolutely correct that there's more than one way to skin a cat in terms of roster building, and to lean on the idea that the reason the Patriots won 6 and the Bucks won 2 years ago is because Tom Brady took less is oversimplifying, and it's unfair to other guys. It's not the player's job to balance Mike Tannenbaum's budget.
Boom. So let me take you behind the curtain. When we're sitting there doing deals, I am literally the point guard of information. Aaron Rodgers, you've earned $60 million. We can pay you $70 million. If at $60 million, Devondre Campbell, Rasul Douglas, they're going to graduate so they can get theirs. If you want to make the most money, you deserve it. It's not about what Aaron Rodgers has deserved. It's about the ramifications of what you do. And Jason Light, sitting there in Tampa Bay, has an advantage. It's just the facts. When Tom Brady's making $25 million less a year, a lot more of those players, the Alex Kappas and the Rob Gronkowskis, it's easier for them to sign back. It's just the facts.
So let me get Orlovsky in here. Go ahead, Danny, go.
I cannot believe I'm going to say this out loud on television. I agree with Mike T.
Yes! We lost Orlovsky.
In regards to this, I did not know. I did not know the deal was done at $25 million a year. I'm shocked he's making $25 million a year.
It's his contract, Dan. Just to be clear, it's the same contract. He signed a 2-year deal before last year. So nothing changes. He just comes back.
I'm shocked that number is 25 still, even though it's that original contract. Two, Hembo just popped up that stat that he'll be 34th in the NFL in salary cap kind of impact. I think, $20 million. Guys, I think it's ignorant for us to not pretend that is a very real thing.
I'm not arguing that it's not real. I'm saying that the person that we should be critical of is Tom Brady because they're cheating. Not be critical of the people who are taking what they deserve. Tom Brady is creating this unfair expectation of these other people, which I think is unfair. And Mike Tannenbaum and people of his ilk need to do their job and stop blaming the players.
I agree.
Let Orlovsky get a word in edgewise. Go ahead, Danny.
No, I agree that it's like comparing apples to apples. But the reality is this, that Aaron came back to win a Super Bowl, and Tom has come back to win a Super Bowl. And won financially, Dom, whether we like it or not, deserved or earned or not, is making it easier for his team to have a bunch of really good players and assets on their football team. And now, we don't know what Aaron's number is, you know, so it could come out and say Aaron's making 25 as well. As I sit here now, and I know that the number is $25 million for Tom, I'm sitting here telling everybody that in 3 days, the Bucks are going to look really different than they do right now, and they more than likely are going to be the team to beat in the NFC because I think they'll keep Kappa, and I think that they'll keep Gronk, and I think they'll keep Leonard Fournette, and I think they'll find a way to keep Ndamukong Suh now that his number is so low,
un-American.
And I just think that's a huge deal.
Look,
un-American.
The NFL salary cap, which is a hard cap, is a zero-sum proposition. And that's why I'm going to yell at Graziano, who is usually the voice of reason on the show. But why are you being do you know what Occam's razor is?
Yes.
Occam's razor is the simplest explanation is usually the true one. So one guy has won all these championships, and one guy has typically taken less money than everybody else. The likeliest explanation is that those two things are not a coincidence, Graziano.
But to Dominique's point, it doesn't mean it can't be done. And
correct.
It is not Aaron Rodgers' job to do it.
Right.
Correct.
It's Brian Gutekunst's job to do it.
That's
he got to figure something out.
So let's move the story forward, guys. Leslie did a great job. When you look at the Rams, a lot of money went to a few players, right? Jalen Ramsey, we know their story. But that's not sustainable from a standpoint that they hit on a lot of late-round picks. They went through the year besides Robert Woods, they were basically healthy. That's not really a sustainable model. What Tom Brady's doing is, over time, giving them a better chance to win. And I'm taking nothing away from Aaron Rodgers. He's an all-time great. Aaron, you can have as much of the pie as you want, but when you've made $263 million in your career, how much do you need?
He's worth more than that.
You're right. But my point is this, Nick. Very simply, Rasul Douglas, DeVondre Campbell, some of your teammates are going to go. So if you're coming back to win a championship and your competitor is taking $25 million less, you're hurting your
team. The answer to this, Dominique, is to remove the impediment, which is to say if there were no salary cap, then Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and all these guys would be worth every penny you're talking about. No one is disagreeing with that.
I'm down with that. But I'm also just saying that we can choose what to focus on. And I'm not comfortable focusing on the idea that the player needs to take less to succeed. When I look at you, Mike Tannenbaum, I don't see a socialist, but somehow you're up here, and like I see a capitalist, or so I thought, but somehow you're up here giving off real Bernie Sanders vibes, which doesn't make sense to me.
Let me get Orlovsky back in. Go ahead, Dan. Poor Dan's not sitting here, and he can't edge his way in. Go ahead, Danny.
One, I have no idea what a socialist is. Two, the reason you're sitting next to him feeling that way is Mike T's wearing Wranglers right now on national television.
Okay? Like, he's a suit.
That's disturbing.
He got Wrangler suit.
I think this, Greeny. I think we got to be fair to Aaron Rodgers. We don't know the number yet. I certainly have not heard publicly what the number is going to be for him this season. So we have to be fair. This could come out, and Aaron's making the same. I would say this. I think it places a lot of urgency on that organization in Green Bay, everybody, over the next week and all the way leading up to the draft, because the Buccaneers were an afterthought before this information came out last night. We all thought that Green Bay was going to make their push to be that Super Bowl contending team in the NFC, and their road was going to be relatively easy. That changes now. And their urgency has got to get up with what they do in free agency this week and then what they do in the draft in next month.
Go ahead, Graz. You point out Rasul Douglas and DeVondre Campbell, right, leaving as free agents. Those guys are examples of how to do it. Aaron Rodgers had a big cap number last year, and the Packers didn't go out and hit free agency hard in the first wave. They waited, and they found guys, specifically Rasul Douglas and DeVondre Campbell, who were on the street, and they brought them into their program. That's how you do it.
Right.
You have to, and you talk about hitting on late round draft picks. That's how you, I mean, you have to maximize the value of the draft. There are ways to do this.
What you're doing is you're arguing against information. You are taking a fact, which is what Mike Tannenbaum is offering, which is that if a quarterback takes less money, everyone else's job becomes easier.
But
that is inarguable.
But
whether it's impossible to do it otherwise or not is not what we're saying.
But your argument rests on the outcome of an individual game, right? Like you can't. I mean, if the Falcons hold a 25-point lead in the second half against the Patriots, then Matt Ryan is the exception to your rule, right? I mean, it's that close.
But you have 22 years of facts. It just is what it is. And I'm not taking anything away from Aaron Rodgers. Let's be key. I'm just saying I'm giving him the information.
Yep.
What gives you the best chance to win?
Okay, let me because we stayed on this right this minute, Dominique Foxworth. Rank for me, if this was the old BCS in the NFC, give me the top teams. What are the top three teams in order in the NFC in your mind right this minute?
Green Bay. I think right this second is one. I go Rams and Tampa Bay.
In that order.
In that order.
And by the end of this week, how will that look, Mike T?
It's going to be the Buccaneers / the Rams, draw a massive line, and then it's going to be Green Bay and Dallas, because by the end of the week, Greeny, barring something unforeseen, Green Bay is going to lose some key players. Dallas is going to lose some key players, and Tom Brady is going to keep a lot of his teammates.
Orlovsky, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Dom. I think right now it sits Green Bay. Or I would place the Los Angeles Rams, then the Green Bay Packers, then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then I think in 3 days it can look very differently, and it'll be Tampa Bay, Green Bay, and the Rams. Now, we don't know what Green Bay and the Rams are going to look like given at the end of this week, but I think Tampa Bay, given Tom's salary, will look very differently. The fact that he threw the Cowboys in there is, get the heck out of here.
let me get Graziano in here. So what, as we're sitting here, by the way, NFL free agency doesn't officially begin until Wednesday afternoon
officially
at 4 o'clock. The legal tampering hasn't even begun yet. So, Graziano, when we say the legal tampering,
right.
The illegal tampering has been going on for years. but when we say they're going to look different, give us a quick thumbnail of what that should mean. The Tampas, the Green Bays, and the Rams.
Tampa, we talked about all their free agents they're trying to sign. Green Bay still has to get under the cap. So, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, those guys could be cut or restructure, but it'd have to be replaced. Dallas could lose Lyle Collins, one of their starting offensive linemen. DeMarcus Lawrence needs to take a pay cut or else they might not have him back.
Randy Gregory's
a free agent, right? So Dallas is going to lose some key pieces. Still already lost Amari Cooper, already traded him. So, yes, these teams, the rosters are going to look different, which means the GMs are going to have to get creative.
Okay, we will see. So we have so much more on this. And, by the way, The Lakers stink on ice. They got obliterated. You need to see this. All right, LeBron and the Lakers take Dominique, I just want you to watch this. This is LeBron. This is not what he had in mind. And now we're going the other way for an easy bucket for the Suns. And this pretty much was the theme of the entire night.
Not very good.
Suns scored 48 points in the first quarter. Up, stripping Russell Westbrook. Up, getting out in front of the break. Up, Devin Booker all by himself. Not a lot of defensive effort there. Again, 48-22 at the quarter. Second quarter, tell me if this looks familiar. We got a steal, and we got an uncontested dunk.
It's pretty pathetic. I tried to watch this game. I made it midway through the second quarter.
Yeah, most of the Lakers didn't see that much either. Third quarter, Lakers down 23. Stop me if this sounds familiar. There's an intercepted pass. Booker had 30 points, 10 assists, 4 steals. This one was a fight. They would have stopped it in the first quarter. 140-111, a hideous and embarrassing night and what has been just a terrible season for the Lakers, who, as you see, are now much closer to falling out of the play-in than they are to moving out of the play-in tournament. The Lakers in big trouble with less than a month to go in the regular season. All right, as we roll on, so much more on the biggest news of the day. Brady backtracks out of retirement. How did it happen? What does it mean? All the answers continue. Plus, oh, by the way, the NCAA tournament is here. We've got the upsets, the surefire picks, the key players, and all that and more ahead of March Madness as we roll on with you. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back on Get Up. Hey, Dominique, just take a look at this. We had this game on ABC yesterday. Look what Jaylen Brown does right here. That's it. And then he gives Kevin Garnett a little dap on the baseline there.
That player should take a pay cut.
You could ruin anything.
Maxi Kleber on the wrong side of that poster. Jam from Jaylen Brown. In a related story, the Mavericks won that game, by the way, in Boston. Coming up, just when everything was coming up, Rodgers, Tampa Tom stepped in and says, not so fast. We continue to explain as we roll on. It's Get Up on a spirited Monday, ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Wondering why you should play the number one bracket game in America? Well, it's free to play, and filling out your bracket has never been easier. With just one tap, our autofill tool helps you fill out as many as 25 different brackets. Tip-off is coming. Download and fill out your bracket now with the ESPN Tournament Challenge app.
It is March Madness, which Tom Brady absolutely put himself in that category. The madness of Brady's return, a retirement that lasted 40 days. He says he's coming back, saying on Twitter he's got unfinished business. We've been all over that all morning and will continue to be. But let me get you to your sheet of integrity here for a moment. Bracket time, Gonzaga, Arizona, Baylor, and Kansas are your number one seeds. Only the second time the Big 12 has had multiple one seeds in the NCAA tournament. First time was back in 2003. The Big Ten, which is the best basketball conference in America, with my opinion, leads the way with nine tournament teams. Second time they've had nine in the tournament. They've done it now in consecutive years. So we'll see how they do. And then, of course, a huge storyline to follow will be that man, Coach K. His final tournament, they're a two seed. His Blue Devils haven't reached the national semis as a two seed since 1994. The last time they were a two seed, they made the Elite Eight, so we'll see how that goes. And let's bring in, for some insight into all this, my Uncle Seth Greenberg, no relation, for more on the bracket. Let's just start there with Duke quickly. It's not an easy draw, obviously, for Coach K. He's in the West with the number one overall seed in Gonzaga. How do you see this going for Mike Krzyzewski in his final dance?
I don't see it going well. They're not playing well. They're not playing at a high level. I mean, if you look at the last 3 weeks or so, they haven't played well. Now, why have they played well? I don't think they have an identity offensively. I'm not sure exactly where they want to get Paolo Banchero the ball. They don't have any consistency in our half-court execution. And then defensively, they're not turning people over. I mean, they're getting exploited in middle ball screens. You saw the clinic that Virginia Tech put on against them. But it was the game before that really disturbed me. Syracuse without Buddy Boeheim, and the game goes right down to the last 4 minutes. Duke's not playing at a high level, and they got Michigan State in front of them. Obviously, a terrific team in the NCAA tournament. Texas Tech's a hard team to play against. They keep you on the side, really physical and athletic. And then, obviously, Gonzaga on the top. So I don't like the way Duke's playing right now. I don't like that they don't have an identity offensively or defensively.
Yeah, if the seeds were to hold, he would have to get through Tom Izzo, as you say, then Texas Tech and Gonzaga to get to the Final Four. So for the folks who are filling out their sheets of integrity today, there's two things they want to know. The first is the Final Four, because you pencil some of those in there, and then you start figuring out your upsets. So, Seth, for those who didn't see it last night, who do you have as the Final Four standing?
I've got Gonzaga, Kentucky, Arizona, and Iowa is my sleeper. And I had Iowa because Keegan Murray can have a Kemba Walker-type run in the NCAA tournament. Keegan Murray at 6'9", knocks down to three, terrific passer, rebounds the basketball, runs the floor. Iowa's an elite offensive team, explosive in transition, changing their defenses right now, improved defensively. Arizona's been, to me, I think the overall number one pick in terms of how they play. And Benedict Mathurin and Dallin Terry have been absolutely terrific. You've got obviously Gonzaga, who it's going to be interesting with Gonzaga because Chet Holmgren is a unicorn. There's no doubt about it. Drew Timmy didn't play well in the West Coast Conference tournament. And then Kentucky, who struggled in the SEC tournament. But if I look at Kentucky, when Kellen Grady's playing well, David Mintz is playing well to complement Oscar Tshiebwe, I think they're going to be really dangerous, especially when you haven't had time to prepare for him.
Great minds think alike. We have the same Final Four, Gonzaga, Kentucky, Arizona, and Iowa. Meanwhile, the other thing people want today are the first round upsets. So let's make these our juicy upsets, which are brought to you by McDonald's. As folks try and figure out who's getting knocked out early, Seth, give me some upsets.
Yeah, I like Miami against USC. Miami is an undersized team. They spread you out. They play four guards. Terrific passing team. Terrific ball screen team. And defensively, they turn you over. Not a great defensive team, but their ability to scramble and turn you over and get out in transition, they're really hard to match up against. SC is one of the tallest, longest teams in college basketball. I think they'll have trouble with the speed, the skill level, and the scrambling defense of Miami. And then Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech went from being on the bubble to ACC champions. All right, and how'd they do it? I'll tell you, they did it on both ends, but offensively, they put on an absolute clinic against Duke. They have the ability to create matchup problems. Kevin Aluma, he's a matchup problem. Justin Mutz, a terrific post passer. And then their perimeter people. They move the ball. They move people. They have all different types of counters depending on how you defend them. Right now, Virginia Tech team is going to be a hard matchup because of how they play and the skill level 1 through 5. They can invert their offense. They do a great job of attacking matchups. I think as an 11 against the Texas team that really struggles scoring, Virginia Tech will be a problem.
All right, I got that one on my sheet of integrity as well. Seth, stay close. We'll come back to you for much, much more. And I remind everyone, do not forget to fill out your bracket with the ESPN Tournament Challenge. We're at 3.6 million, and we are just getting started on that. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. You can fill out your men's and women's brackets. And again, we'll check back on the tournament as we continue here this morning. Meanwhile, back to Brady. After a retirement that lasted 40 days, Tom Brady says he is returning to the Buccaneers for his 23rd NFL season. The general manager in Tampa, Jason Light, had this to say in response, quote, "Coach Bruce Arians and I have had plenty of conversations with Tom recently that led us to believe there was a realistic chance he would want to come back. Tom is the greatest quarterback of all time who's still playing at an elite level. With this decision now made, we will continue to move forward with our offseason plans to reload this roster for another championship run." And again, the timing of this is so critical as I bring our insider Jeff Darlington into the conversation as well here. The timing, doing it right before the free agency period begins so they can make their plans accordingly, so critical. Jeff Darlington, you've been so close to Brady and this circumstance for many years. What can you tell us behind the scenes?
Well, Greeny, you know what's probably so interesting to me about this is that when I think in retrospect now about the last 40 days and perhaps even maybe the weeks that preceded that, was that to me, you never try to get into somebody's head when they're making this decision, but it always felt like Brady was more simply trying to avoid a farewell tour, just tired after a long season, than overly fulfilled by his career and ready to hang it up. It felt like he was making a short-term decision as opposed to a long-term one. And I think the one person who recognized that more than anybody was Bucs general manager Jason Light. There's a very thin line between being the desperate ex who just thinks that the person's going to come back to them and the person who's cautiously optimistic about it. And Light walked that line perfectly. He was having conversations with Brady behind the scenes, sort of just saying, hey, we're here if you still want us. You know, he sensed it. And I think that is why Brady ultimately is returning to the Bucs and why they got it done at a time when they can still put together a roster and make a championship run. Light saw it. He left the light on as he said it. And ultimately, Brady said, you know what? I'm not done. I'm coming back.
Did other people see it? You know, Jeff, I mean, you talked to so many people because, you know, we speculated a million times on here about he was just unwilling to close the door, even verbally, interviews with Jim Gray and anywhere else he went. And yesterday morning, that conversation that came out with him and Ronaldo, did other people that you know around him sense that he was seriously considering this?
I think that people sensed all along, even before he announced his decision to retire, that while we all see Tom Brady as being this methodical, decisive person, there were those around him who saw him as being non-committal in general to a lot of things. You know, points in the season when he said, you know, I'm going to fulfill my contract. Other times when he's like, I think this might be it. And it just, it never felt as maybe decisive as we always expect Tom Brady to be about everything. And as a result of that, that was probably the early sign that maybe that this decision would ultimately be questioned. By himself in the end. So I'd say that, yeah, the warning signs were there that he would probably do something like this, but ultimately we've just come to expect when Tom says he's going to do something, he does it, and in this case, it just wasn't the case.
And one more quick one, Jeff, before I bring the rest of the group in, is the expectation that he will now be sort of a Pied Piper in Tampa? That Mike T put up a whole list of you know, potential Bucs free agents a little bit earlier in the program. Should we now expect, with Brady coming back, that a lot of those guys will return?
Well, absolutely. The timing is exactly that, so that they can make a run at this, guys. We saw it with Senator Ryan Jensen. Chris Godwin already felt like he was going to come back and he can make that playoff run after he recovers. The Leonard Fournettes are the ones that are the questions, right? You got guys that were signed one-year deals to run it back this last year. Jason Light went all in. Those guys are now the ones who have the decisions to make. But absolutely, we should be very clear on this. Tom Brady has been in communication with Jason Light throughout this to make sure that he was kind of sort of, as much as anybody, setting those chess pieces in place. Mm-hmm. So if there's one person, again, who's not surprised by it, it's the person who has to pull the trigger on those deals, and that is the general manager in Jason Light.
Orlovsky, jump in here. As you listen to Jeff and all of this latest, what's your perspective?
What's the relationship between Tom and Bruce Arians like right now?
Jeff?
It's actually good. I would say that, I'll be just candid about it. I had drinks with Bruce Arians last week at the Combine. Talked to him about Tom. and there was no rift. There was nothing there that – there was no sense of animosity or frustration, certainly not to the degree that we've seen it with other coaches and players. There's a great respect there, and I think that Tom understands that he's starting to feel out Bruce throughout these last 2 years himself. But I got a very clear sense that these guys are on the same page. And I got a very clear sense last night from a text from Bruce Arians that if there's one person who's most thrilled about this in Tampa, it is, in fact, the head coach.
People having drinks with Bruce Arians, not a short list, I wouldn't imagine. Mike Tannenbaum, as you hear that, your thoughts here on the job that Jason Light has in front of him now and how this could go.
I want to expand the conversation. What about a guy like Jarvis Landry? Jarvis Landry wants to leave Baker Mayfield. We saw OBJ leave Baker Mayfield, go to Matt Stafford, and but for a tragic ACL, would have made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. If I'm Jarvis Landry, I could go on a one-year deal. They lost Antonio Brown. I'll go invest in my future, maybe take a one-year deal, as Nick would like to do, for less money. But in all seriousness, I think the aura of association, Greeny, bears repeating. Not only is it the list of their free agents, how many other players would want to go play for Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, no state income tax, play on grass? It's an ideal situation.
But by the end of this week, Dominique, will they be the team to beat in the NFC?
I think so. I think they'll be up there because of all the things that we've pointed out. And I do think that the value that he brings to the franchise, not only is it that he's taking less money and also people wanting to come there, it's the culture being set. It's so very few players that have this kind of basketball-like power that when they show up somewhere, it becomes their organization. When Tom Brady leaves an organization, I believe the culture changes immediately. When he comes to one, it also changes immediately. So having him back, I think, is paramount for this organization.
We will talk much, much, much more about the serious part of this, but in case anyone didn't see it, I want to do the Meanwhile on Planet Earth now, because I want to get a moment for everyone to react. I assume most people may have seen this yesterday, but did you know that hours before Brady announced this return, literally hours before, the ball that he threw his quote-unquote final touchdown pass with sold at an auction for over $500,000. Now, Jalen Ramsey, who gave up that touchdown to Mike Evans, said, thank you, throw that last one on somebody else. But let's spin it all the way back. Dominique, how would you like to be the person spent $518,000 on what turned out to be just another playoff touchdown pass from Tom Brady?
I don't know who that is, but presumably that's a person who can stand to lose $518,000. So maybe they don't lose any sleep, but I don't pay anything over what it costs at a sporting goods store for a football. But I do think, Tom Brady's first order of business needs to be figure out how to rectify this to this man. Promise him the future football or something.
It's sources close to me say that Aaron Rodgers' ball will go for double that amount.
I hope so.
Okay, I like it. Let's pause briefly on that. So much more to do today. Oh, by the way, we have other quarterback news. Could this be the week that Deshaun Watson gets traded to a new team? We have all the insight on what needs to happen with the very latest here before a new deal can get done. Stay with us. Busy morning. Get up on ESPN.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by WebEx.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back on Get Up, and Dan Graziano, a lot of the madness this March is coming from the NFL. Let's run through the hurry up, beginning with Brady.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys heard, Tom Brady announced that he is returning to the NFL to play his 23rd season. He'll be back with the Bucs for his third season there. Obviously, the significance of this is happening on the eve of NFL free agency. The Bucs have a lot of free agents that they are trying to bring back, and this is only going to help. Tom Brady, the assistant GM, has already brought center Ryan Jensen back into the fold. More likely to follow. Stay tuned on Bucks free agency. In Minnesota, they extended Kirk Cousins. Stop me if you've heard this one before. With fully guaranteed money, a one-year extension that will save them about $14 million in salary cap space this year, but effectively give Cousins a raise this year and guarantees him $35 million next year. Cousins continuing to crush it in the contract game ever since getting that fully guaranteed deal from the Vikings 4 years ago. And then the Deshaun Watson situation. Obviously, this took a turn on Friday when he learned that he would not face criminal charges. Still has a lot of other legal issues to sort through and the potential for league discipline. But Friday did clear one hurdle in terms of teams being interested in acquiring him. Watson is the subject of trade interest. He doesn't want to play for Houston anymore. Many teams circling now to try and see what it would take to get Watson, whether they want to bring him in. So this process is now really getting started in earnest.
So for the longest time, and by that I mean at this point practically a full calendar year, it has been so complicated to try and talk about the Deshaun Watson situation from a football standpoint because that feels like the least important part of it. That said, with whatever the significance, and that's what I want to ask you about, the significance of what happened on Friday, we are a sports show. He's an incredibly important football player in the scheme of the football conversation here. So where does it stand now regarding what has to happen for his football fate to be decided here?
So Friday was a big day because teams were waiting to see if he would face criminal charges.
Right.
And since he won't, he's not in the clear. He still has 22 civil lawsuits pending. And again, the league could suspend him under the personal conduct policy. So if you trade for him, you might not have him for all 17 games this year. Teams know this. But what's happening now is interested teams are trying to set up meetings where they would talk to Deshaun Watson. They want to get in front of him. Hasn't played in a year. And as you mentioned, a lot has gone on in the past year that has changed public perception about Deshaun Watson. He has denied wrongdoing. Obviously, we're not here to say, you know, whether he's guilty or not. That's for the courts to figure out. But in terms of NFL teams, they feel like there's a clearer path to acquiring him now because that potential for him facing criminal charges is no longer on the table.
So let me ask my general manager, if you're the GM of a team that has a quarterback need, it goes without saying Deshaun Watson is a brilliant player on the field. How are you going about this process now?
It's very difficult to get a deal done, and here's why. Because Ben Roethlisberger was suspended for 6 games, and there was never any criminal charges brought. Because of that, if you're a team, Greeny, and you're going to give up a lot of draft capital, you need to know, is he going to be suspended 1 game, 6 games? So until the league rules, I think it's very difficult for a GM or a head coach to go to their owner and say, hey, we're going to give up multiple first-round picks. And, oh, by the way, we don't know about his eligibility for this season. So that's really important. And most notably with Brett Favre of the Jets, I've made trades with conditions, but I don't think the Houston Texans will give up a franchise quarterback for a conditional pick. So even though there was progress made on this front, as Dan alluded to, I still think it's very difficult to make a trade.
Nick, you had some interesting thoughts on this as far as what the team that acquires him, a team that could acquire him, might have to be dealing with.
Yeah, well, I mean, his guilt or innocence will not be decided because it's not going to go to court. But I do think that his talent is undeniable. But if he goes to another team, this will be the first time I can ever remember that a quarterback this young and this talented comes to an organization and the fan base will not be universally excited about it. Like the 22 credible accounts and the 22 civil cases outstanding, it's a big deal. And I think that people in a lot of cities and on a lot of teams are going to be not only have their excitement tamped down, they are going to be upset. Furious that a team that they thought that they could root for, a team that they believe in, that they believe reflects their beliefs and their values, would trade for somebody who has these allegations hanging over his head. And it will hang over his head for the rest of his career. I think we'll stop talking about it, but there are plenty of people, and they deserve the right to do this, who will never let that go because 22 is a lot. It's hard to look at that and suspect that nothing was done improper.
So, Dan, you've made points similar to that many times over the course of our discussions here, Dan Orlovsky. What are your thoughts today now that Friday's events have taken place and perhaps looking ahead to what might be his immediate football future?
Yeah, if I were the New Orleans Saints, I would try to be trading for Deshaun Watson because I think they're the one team that, if they acquire a quarterback like him, becomes a bona fide, legit Super Bowl contender. I push back a little bit on Mike T because I don't think you're trading for Deshaun Watson strictly for this season. You're trading for Deshaun Watson because at the quarterback position on the field, you are trying to solidify the next 10 years, and acquiring Deshaun Watson does that. Candidly, if I was Houston, I wouldn't trade him in the AFC. There'd be a 0% chance that I would allow that player to play in the same conference as my organization. And if I was a general manager in the NFC, everybody outside of Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Dallas, the Rams, Chicago, and Minnesota should be calling Houston. That gives 10 teams in the NFC. They should be calling Houston to figure out what acquiring Deshaun is going to cost. That being said, Greeny, I don't think we can have this conversation without continuing to make the point. Organizationally, you better be darn sure that you are built to absorb what's coming. Owner-wise, your owner's wife, general manager, your head coach, your PR staff, the people that work in your building, the human beings that work in your building better be okay. And your leadership in your locker room better be okay with everything that is going, because I thought Dom's points were spot on, everything that you are going to be absorbing with Deshaun Watson.
And it's a really good point. And again, we will see how all of that part of it plays out. Again, as I said, it's so hard to have football conversations about this, but I guess if I were to ask you a football question here on this, Mike T, what is the price? So Dan just mentioned all these teams should be calling. I'm thinking of the Eagles, who have 3 first-round picks this year. If other quarterbacks have been worth what they are worth, in a vacuum, Deshaun Watson would be worth all of that. Yes? Now, this is not a vacuum, obviously.
Yeah, 100% from a football standpoint. The Philadelphia Eagles with Deshaun Watson are Super Bowl contender. I would give up those 3 ones immediately, and that is a win-win from a football standpoint. So it's really an unusual situation, to say the least. It is an opportunity from a football standpoint. Obviously, all these other issues are very significant, but 3 ones is definitely the price.
So the upshot is, if you know, there were people on Deshaun Watson's side of this that were excited, Friday, you know, unlocked some things. It's still going to probably take a while for this deal to. I think he'll get traded. I think he'll play somewhere else next year besides Houston. But there are a lot of hurdles that have to be cleared still before a deal can be.
So unlikely that it happens this week as free agency begins.
Yeah, I think it's going to take longer than that. Remember, there's 3 parties that have to agree. The Texans, the acquiring team, and Watson, who has a no-trade clause.
Right.
It's got to be somewhere he wants to play, too.
Agree. Just to take it behind the scenes, that other team's probably calling in the league office to say, hey, where are you with things?
Right.
Is a suspension on the table? What's the time frame of it?
I have to leave it there for the moment, but we will have more. Obviously, Brady is the big football story today. And I also want to make sure you know we have a special NBA Monday night doubleheader tonight, loaded with stars, Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid. That could be a battle for the MVP award. And then we got the Jazz and the Bucks. And that could be a terrific matchup. Coverage starts with NBA Countdown tonight, 7 Eastern. Coming up, more on the Sunday Stunner. Tampa Tom returning to Tampa. We'll ask a former teammate why he thinks Brady backtracked. That's next. Get up on ESPN.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.